As we approach the end of 2025, what we do is we chat with some of the chief executives of the UK's and the world's leading sight loss charities as well. Look back at the year and look at some of the challenges, maybe some of the highlights as well. And today it is RNIB's chief exec, Matt Stringer, who's with us. Thank you for joining us, Matt.
Hello, Alan. No, my pleasure to join you. Another interesting year. I think the external landscape just gets more challenging, doesn't it? I think for every charity and other organisations, businesses too. This has been the first full year of the new UK government, and we've seen various policies play out, some advantageous for us in terms of devolution agendas, really trying to get a grip on things like travel and transport, you know, bus bills, railway bills, but also challenges, you know, still economic challenges, challenges to the welfare budgets, trying to work on getting more people into employment, money going into the NHS and a 10-year NHS plan emerging this year. We're happy with how we've managed to inform that, actually, but, you know, still early days in terms of implementation, so still a lot to do, you know, going into 2026. So yeah, I think another interesting year in a global situation, full year of Donald Trump's presidency, challenges in Ukraine and Gaza, implications on global economies, global supply chains that we're not immune to, actually. So yeah, a challenging year externally, which doesn't necessarily make life within the UK charities of any easier when you're trying to sort of manage things and optimize impact.
As you say, Matt, those external forces, if you like, affecting the commercial, the private, the public sector, the third sector, of course, affected by that, fundraising, donations, etc., costs going up. And again, like many charities, RNIB has had to look at expenditure, making itself as fit, if you like, as possible for going forward in the future.
We've spent time in the last few years recovering the sort of macro finance of the organisation from some of the challenges we had 5-6 years ago coming out of statutory inquiry. So we're certainly not in a bad spot, but a good spot can quickly erode if you don't keep vigilant to managing the finances. So we're looking back on this year, one of the things that culminated in 2025 was our internal transformation program, which was trying to deliver a leaner organization with making choices on where we wanted to invest and where we wanted to sort of maybe slightly dialed back from doing some things. It was a very challenging program. It was a bit of challenging sort of first half of this year in 2025 to finish that formally in sort of March, April time, and then manage the, you know, the period in which we tried to settle down a bit as an organization that thereafter. And that's not easy, and probably arguing not everything is settled even now, actually, if I'm honest, because people are just still wrestling with new ways of working, new processes, different setups, etc. It never lands maybe as well as you might hope, but necessary for the organisation to not only make some choices about where we're putting our effort and how we're doing it and driving efficiency and trying to harness technology, you know, but also just making sure that we're giving ourselves that sort of financial headroom and keeping abreast of the financial side of things as well. And I'd argue we managed to do both things through the transformation program, but not an easy program, and one which the organization, you know, I think found challenging at times, even though we were very clear on the rationale, but not an easy program to absorb. And I think that did occupy us through, you know, the first half of this year.
Through the transformation, Matt, obviously the work continues. If you were to look at some of the highlights of the year, it's always a difficult question to pick sort of two or three, but what ones would stand out for you?
The team, the colleagues in the RNIB have done a brilliant job of being able to sort of weather change and still deliver brilliant service for our beneficiaries. At the end of the day, you know, we have to remind ourselves, why are we here? Well, because there's 2 million visually impaired people for whom life isn't great in the UK in different ways, and organisations like the RNIB are critical not only to provide really important sort of point services where society doesn't, but also to inform, you know, some of these big national questions, where the RNIB is one of the key voices in trying to get things changed so that life is better for blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, the good news is I think we had a good year in terms of generating impact. Just speak out a couple of highlights. Look, I think the work we've done around eye health, the eye care support pathway, is maybe the area where we've had the most deep-rooted impact, if I'm honest. We had a session about a month ago, which was celebrating the second anniversary of the eye care support pathway in Manchester with all our colleagues in that work, other charities, NHS across the devolved nations, professional bodies, corporate partners. And what we got played back by many geographies were real tangible difference. It wasn't just a few people here and a trial there. It was hundreds of thousands of data points of people going through a process, getting a better outcome, benefits being thrown up the NHS in terms of, you know, quicker referrals, lower do not attends or did not attends, because this work better and we weren't wasting time on things that weren't happening, like appointments where people didn't turn up. And real sense of pride from all of us, I think, in the room about what we managed to achieve and that we were really improving the national condition, which is what we set out to do from, say, 4 years ago when we had a summit to first raise this idea, and from sort of 2 years ago where we actually kicked off the pathway. So that was a real tangible sign of the RNIB having influenced something really important and seen it through to a really strong initial sort of conclusion. And clearly, we need to roll it out across the rest of the country, and that's happening. Pick out a couple other things. I think we're very strong on employment. We help about 1,600 people into work or to retain employment. We help about 4,000 people a year on employment queries, and that gives us a platform to inform some of these big debates about employment and welfare, where we're still in the foothills, I think, of the Labour government working out what it's going to do on welfare. But we've input a lot to the Keep Britain Working report with Charlie Mayfield this year, as the ex-boss of John Lewis. We hosted an event about a month ago. I've just seen it referenced in an article in the Times, actually. And I think we genuinely, through the RNIB and our work with the Disability Charity Consortium, have really got that disability agenda on the radar of that report. It's very heavily referenced through it. And Charlie came to our meeting, and we've got to move into the implementation phase now to actually do something about it across the nation. But we're very firmly in the game in a way that I don't think we would have been unless we put the effort in we did through the summer to really inform his team. So that's been a real highlight of this year. And look, I think the other highlight, Alan, as ever, is I see this when I, for example, go and visit our helpline, who are largely based in Peterborough. We've got hundreds of thousands of people who, on a daily basis, lives are enriched by their interaction with the RNIB. And people ring the helpline, for example, and the helpline team don't know what the issue is that the caller's going to raise. And they're brilliant at being able to respond to a real breadth and depth of potential questions. And I can see how 10, 15 minutes on the phone with an RNIB person gives enormous solace and support to someone who's rung us, because they're pretty bereft, actually. And I think we lose sight of the fact sometimes that we do provide a lot of great services, which without them, a lot of blind and partially sighted people's lives would be immeasurably worse. And I think I take enormous pride from our ability not only to discharge that, but across the piece, averagely sort of grow the numbers of people that we're supporting, whether it's a helpline, reading services, sight loss advice services, ECLO visits. All those people have had their lives supported and enriched by their interaction with the RNIB.
Always a difficult one to boil down into a few highlights. And Matt, you're obviously stepping down at the end of 2025 as well, but I'm sure right up until the end you're working on looking ahead to 2026. What do you think will be perhaps one of the big things for the charity as we go forward?
Look, I think two things. I think that sense of always needing to be abreast of sort of change. What the organisation can't do is stand still. Events externally, internally, make life challenging for organisations. We spent time in our board meeting this week talking about the future and about the strategic options with the organisation to next year. So having gone through a bout of change, you can't stand still and just sort of congratulate yourself on doing it. You've got to keep thinking about how you're constantly making yourself relevant and the sort of horizon scanning to keep ahead of challenges and also to be able to take advantage of opportunities. So at a high level, that work goes on all the time. I think practically times feel quite febrile at the moment. We've touched on quite a lot around the economy and around NHS investment, 10-year plan, government's focus on welfare and employment, desire to drive some changes across travel and transport. So there are all areas that we're involved in. And as we've just been discussing, we've made some pretty good progress this year, I think, in terms of our influence on some of this stuff. But we've got to keep going. And I think next year, within that sort of febrile environment, I think what we need to do is see that we have opportunity, because the government and other institutions, NHS, local authorities, mayors, whomever, transport providers are looking for solutions to some of these challenging problems. And we have a ton of insight and a ton of relevance that makes us a really good participant in trying to shape some of these big national questions. I think that's what we've done successfully this year. So, if there are going to be next year, it needs to keep going within the things it's already in and really well entrenched in. So the eye care support pathway into the NHS 10-year plan, employment, welfare, we've talked about with the DWP, really trying to keep driving our input into Charlie Mayfield and the Keep Britain Working Group review, travel and transport bills coming forwards in rail, in bus, street design, urban architecture, all those things will evolve again in 2026. And I think for all the need to sort of make sure we are relevant and we're setting up the right sort of size and shape and structure of the RNIB, we've also got to keep going on those things where we've had a good year in 2025, and there's opportunity to have an even better year in 2026.
Indeed. And I suppose this will be your final Chief Exec's review of the year, Matt. So everyone at RNIB Connect Radio would like to take the opportunity to say thank you and have a great Christmas and a happy new year.
Look, Alan, no, my pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to row back round this year. Now, my last full year at the RNIB, in some respects, most challenging year in many respects. Even though when I started, we had a few challenges with the statutory inquiry. But I think life externally has probably got a bit more difficult. And we need to keep going as RNIB to face into the challenges. But as we've just been discussing, see that we've made some really good progress this year, building on previous years, and see next year as just the next opportunity to really insert ourselves onto some of these big national questions and have the positive influence that I think we've had in 2025. So thank you for having me on the radio, and it's been great being able to talk about it to you.